Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. I'm a counseling pastor and the senior citizens pastor at Brookside. We're a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's our privilege to be able to have a ministry in the Milwaukee area. My privilege to have been on staff for the last couple of years and to have the opportunity to spend time with wonderful, wonderful people in this area. In fact, the last number of broadcasts, we have had folks in the studio with me sharing their testimonies with me, and we will continue to do that in the very near future. But I wanted to spend just a couple of broadcasts, as I have been sharing with you the last couple of times, about a very important issue that many, many of us deal with on a daily basis. And so it's just me in the studio for a couple of times, and then we'll have guests back with us from our church. We've been talking about the difficulty of knowing how to forgive someone. We know the Bible teaches us that that is God's plan for our life. But how do we do it? And we have seen that Jesus said, "You forgive other people by watching how I forgave you." And as we looked at that, we saw that Jesus, first of all, forgave others by suffering for them. And then we saw that Jesus prayed for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what we do." And we talked about the fact that God wants us to be praying for those who have hurt us. And that is very difficult, because our prayers very quickly become judgmental and become verbal griping. That's not the kind of prayer God wants us to be praying. That's not the kind of prayer Jesus prayed while he was on the cross. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we see that the Lord is just very adamant in helping us to understand that we are to be a blessing to others. And praying for them is something that they may have no clue we're doing. But if we ever have the opportunity to share that, I'll tell you, it begins to soften their heart. I wish I had the opportunity to tell you something that just happened in the last few days that just thrilled my heart in such an awesome way. I had been hurt in the worst possible way numbers of years ago. And for a great period of time, well over a year and a half, I struggled with the pain of that hurt and that betrayal and that anger and that rejection. And finally, I began to pray, "Lord, bless them, help them, be gracious to them." And as I had the opportunity to occasionally talk with them, I would mention that I'm praying about a certain area of their life or their family. And it was amazing, the strange look that you got, like, "Really? Wow, you still care about us after, wow." What a thrill it was just a few days ago to get a phone call. And one of these individuals said, "Pastor, you'll never know how your response has brought me to brokenness. I need to ask you to forgive me for what I said and what I did." We cried on the phone. We had just a sweet time together. But that's after numbers of years of praying. And I'm firmly committed to the fact that it was not anything that I did, but God did it. Because you see, we are all members of his family. And so as Jesus forgave by praying for his enemies, God wants us to do the same thing. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That word pray is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, "Oh, it would be nice if you were to." No, no. It's a command. It's an imperative. And so consequently, it's not up to me to just do it if I feel like doing it. But I need to be responding by saying, "Lord, I need to be obedient to you." And like Christ, we have to begin to focus on restoration rather than retaliation. Our flesh wants to retaliate. God's Spirit wants to restore. And so may God use us to accomplish his purpose. So how do I forgive, Pastor? The same way Christ did. You see, number three, Christ forgave by envisioning God's higher purpose in allowing the pain. Christ forgave those that were doing what they were doing to him by envisioning God's higher purpose in allowing the pain. And that's exactly what you and I must do. We must look beyond the pain and begin to ask the question, Lord, what do you have in mind? Why are you allowing this to happen? In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those are all of the people in Hebrews chapter 11 that have been walking the walk of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Is that the sin of bitterness? Is that the sin of retaliation desire? He said, lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's interesting that the writer of Hebrews says, run with patience. Because when God is working in someone else's heart and life, he is expecting us to be patient. And not to be pushy. And not to be demanding. But to be patient. So he says, run with patience. How do we do that? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look at Jesus, how did Jesus run his race? How did he complete his journey? He's the author of our faith, but notice he's the finisher of our faith. He is the one that brings our faith to completion. All right, how did he do it? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And whatever cross you are bearing, whatever cross experience you are going through, God wants you to look beyond the pain to the gain. Right now it's very difficult to see, but Jesus looked beyond the cross. And for the joy that was set before him, knowing that because of his death on the cross, you and I could trust him as our personal Savior, our sins could be forgiven, we could be born into the family of God, and be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's the joy that was set before him. And so with that set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The word despising means to minimize the shame, to set it aside as something that is of no great value. And he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it goes on to say, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, continuing to speak of Jesus, consider him and all the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, that's where the battle is. If we are going to envision God's higher purpose in allowing the pain, then we can't become weary and faint in our mind. Hebrews 12:3. So you see, the battle is a battle of the mind. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. How am I thinking? Am I thinking God's perspective thoughts, or am I thinking my carnal thoughts? I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Because if I become weary and faint in my mind, then the devil will win the victory. And so Christ was looking toward the future for the joy that was set before him. So at this point then, you say, well, Pastor Ruffin, what possible joy could be set before me? What possible good could I experience from what I'm going through? I was thinking numbers of months ago that God never wastes suffering. God always wants to develop a ministry from your misery. He wants to develop a ministry from your misery. And so if you begin to look at the misery that you're going through and begin to focus your prayers on him and begin to say, Lord, what kind of ministry might I be able to have as a result of the misery that I'm going through? Well, first thing is, what are you learning about God? Because you'll run across so many people in your daily experience that are going through the same type of misery. And if you're able to share with them who God is during this time, he is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. He's Jehovah Jireh. God is your provider. Maybe somebody has stolen something from you or cheated you or defrauded you. God is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. And every day you remind yourself, Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're Jehovah Rapha. You are my health. And God, whatever health situation I'm facing, you are in control. And I thank you for it. And you begin to get a different perspective. You begin to look beyond the pain to the gain. Lord, what kind of ministry could you be developing in my life? You see, God's plan is conformity to Christ. That's God's plan. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, what's his purpose? Verse 29, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So God allows the sufferings, God allows the hurts and the pain and the rejection to knock things off of your life that don't look like Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. And if you fight against God's plan, then he will have to give you the extended plan, because his ultimate goal is that you become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that means accept suffering with the right desire and the right purpose. God's process is suffering. God's plan is conformity to Christ, but the process for that is suffering. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, we like that part that says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We say, yeah, give us that resurrection power. Give us that knowledge of Jesus. But the power of his resurrection goes right into the fellowship of his sufferings. We want to stop our prayer at that point, but Jesus said no. The process of becoming more like Jesus Christ is suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And my friends, that's death to self. Death to self. That's the reason that Jesus said, if you would be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. He didn't give us a cross to wear on our lapel or to wear around our neck. He gave us a cross to plant and to die on. When we come to situations in our daily life upon which we can die to self and let Christ in his resurrected power shine forth. So God's process is suffering. And my friends, you may be going through such tremendous suffering. Oh, always remember, the process to becoming conformed to Jesus Christ is suffering. And so there's a fellowship of his sufferings that Paul said can be made conformable unto his death. Join the fellowship. Rejoice in the opportunity to suffer as the apostles did in the beginning of the church. And as you do, you'll begin to understand the secret to victory in the Christian life. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.